Professor Emma Johnston has another love letter for us of a rather different kind. It's to celebrate exactly 60 years since the Antarctic Treaty was signed. This ode is based on her writing in Australian Quarterly magazine.
Some things cut through, illuminating and potentially blinding you. The brilliant sparkle of the isolated continent of Antarctica is one such place. So substantial and so heavy with frozen mass, giving an air of permanence and untouchability. Antarctica cuts through. There's no need for a homage if you have seen it. Even translated through the eyes of a scientist like myself, some things cut through. I can recall, for example, with intricate detail, the fluff of a young snow petrel chick hidden by parents in a quartz cave. I can quickly bring to mind the oddly growing crystal ice, geometric shoots growing up from blue lakes. In my head, a clip can play of a penguin swimming past a grounded iceberg, leaving a steady trail of feathered bubbles. Fields of fanworms, like poppies in the dark, picking plankton from the paucity, wild storms above, circling cyclonic, double low pressure systems, ready to swoop down and literally sweep me off my feet. The summer sun, never fully setting, on an iridescent silk of pinks, purples, and apricots. Antarctica is screen-saved on my mind, as it will be for many Antarctic scientists. But Antarctica itself is not saved, and nor are we. Antarctica cuts through to the core of my understanding as a marine ecologist, the core of my worldview. But the Antarctic continent shouldn't just tattoo the consciousness of scientists. It should cut through to all of us, with all of its beautifully brutal, critically harsh reality. It is, after all, a conveyor belt of blue, creator and feeder of the circumpolar circle of currents and wind. That, encouraged by the melt of fresh snow and ice, prime the sinking pump of deep water, formed and lost into an astoundingly wild and deep surrounding sea. That sea sink feeds a global conveyor belt of cooling winds, waves, and currents. And this is, of course, our last remaining cap. Once they were a pair, poles apart. Since the Arctic has been fleeced to a single year, snow layer of brittle sea ice, barely strong enough to support the birthing igloo of a pregnant ring seal. We've got work to do, to cut through with our precious last cap. This is a place that, left misunderstood, will touch us all. A place that ebbs and flows like no other after 30 million years of icy isolation. Today, we encroach upon that isolation. The ice flows faster and the seas warm. Imperceptibly, perhaps, to a sleepy seal, but faster and faster still. This place, left misunderstood, will hurt more than the seals and the penguins. The ice unkempt will be more than screen-saved on my mind. It will be indelibly printed as water on the walls of our cities.
Emma Johnston, Dean of Science at the University of New South Wales, and she stepped down this very week as President of Science and Technology Australia. Former Prime Minister Bob Hawke, you'll recall, was also passionate about the southern continent.
Australia is vigorously pressing the case against mining in the world's last untouched wilderness. Of necessity, that argument is being conducted through diplomatic channels and at government level. In the end, however, I believe the sheer weight of public opinion around the world will be the decisive factor, and there will be no mining in the Antarctic.
Late Prime Minister Bob Hawke, an effort of which he was most proud.